Welcome to our first teleconference on the principles of living water, and I'm very happy to have the both of you here, Jonathan Stromberg and Dolly Knight from the Center for Implosion Research. And I was saying as we were visiting how there is a technology already embedded within nature, and that as Schauberger in his works described, if we just simply pattern and follow nature, we will be able to see the way to live in harmony with that. So I'm hoping that the two of you will then be able to expand on this. You are pioneers in this field, and we're very, very happy to have you. And I will turn it over to you with no further ado.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christian. Thank you for organizing this conference. It's a pleasure to be here and to have made this possible by you, Christian, and via all this technology as well.
Well, first we'd like to say well done, and it's a pleasure to do this. And Christian, you're making history.
Well,
not done yet. Let's not congratulate ourselves just yet.
Right.
But thank you for coming. Well, I appreciate you're making the time.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, we first we'll do something gentle by saying how we managed to get into this field. The first thing that we discovered in 1996, someone told us about a book called Living Energies. So we read it, and we were absolutely amazed at what this Austrian forester called Victor Schauberger found in nature. He discovered that he found in nature, he was an Austrian forester who observed nature very closely in Austrian alpine forests. He also discovered that there were two very, very important forces in nature. One he termed as implosion and the other explosion. Implosion he termed as a generative, constructive, female force, and this is not a sexist remark, and explosion as the degenerative, destructive male force. And in nature, we have both. And one of the things this very forward-thinking man mentioned was that the planet was in an ailing state simply because humanity had concentrated too much on the destructive force. So we thought, well, this makes an enormous amount of sense. And so we decided to work with him. We gave up our jobs, me as a GP, a medical doctor, and Jonathan as a geologist. And we set about doing research. Now, I'll give Jonathan a chance to talk, so we will have a yin and yang situation here.
Right. Well, this was the latter part of 1997, which is when we started our full-time research. We basically amassed all the information we could on Victor Schauberger, a lot of the original texts and writings from archives, and we joined the German Society for Implosion Research and got hold of all their publications, and we started disseminating all the information and trying to make heads and tails of these weird and wonderful things that Victor Schauberger was writing about. And soon after, we started doing our own experiments, initially from Dolly's garage. And we learned from Schauberger that there are a few shapes in nature which are more important than anything else. And probably the most important shape is that of the egg. So in nature, the egg shape is used to store nature's precious liquids. So when there's, and for very good reason, the egg obviously is shaped egg-shaped because it's nurturing a fluid which is to give life. And the human womb is an egg shape, and so many other shapes, seeds and grains, they're all egg shapes because in Victor Schauberger's opinion, the egg shape facilitated certain energetic dynamics which were so vital to life. So when we started looking into implosion, and when we talk here about implosion, we are not talking about a television set imploding. We are talking about the kind of natural implosion, vortex, inward suctional centripetal action, which we can see wherever we look in nature, on the macrocosm, in spiraling cosmic nebulae, on the microcosm, in subatomic particle spin. And we can observe it in everyday life whenever we see water eddies in little natural streams. We see these spiraling forms, and really this is what we mean when we talk about implosion. Now, when we did our initial research and we started experimenting from Dolly's garage, then we used the egg shape and we made an implosion machine which had this egg shape, and it was made from certain metallic elements which we knew from Schauberger to have particular catalytic properties.
Jonathan?
And when we, yeah?
Before you
Hi,
get into that, I just wanted to go back to the egg shape. And what
yes.
is it in particular about the shape of the egg that is causing it to provide more life or more nutrients or more vitality?
Okay. Well, there is a... Okay, this is happening on many different levels. One is that there seems to be an inverse relationship between the egg and the hyperbolic cone shape. The two are very much related. And the hyperbolic cone, which one of our products, the Vortex Energizer, is based on, is actually modeled on the way the path curve of the solar system. So the way that the planets are reacting to one another is modeled on this harmonic hyperbolic curve. And mathematically, you can derive the egg from the harmonic hyperbolic cone and vice versa. So there's that kind of relationship, which is very important. But maybe on a more basic level, in an egg shape, you have no crevices, no corners, no stagnation, and Dolly's wanted to cut in there.
There is natural convection. There is no room, there's no cracks, there's no corners for any unnecessary bacteria to accumulate.
I know someone in Florida who made, actually he's in Hawaii, but most of his business was in Florida, he created swimming pools that didn't need any kind of chlorine because of the curvatures that were built into the design of the pool. So is this something similar that's happening?
Yes. Yes, yes, something similar. Also, it's in a swimming pool, for instance, it creates the curve itself with the water swishing around, is creating this eddy, this whirl, this oval shape of an egg.
So and how is it reducing the bacteria?
Well, bacteria can get a foothold when you have stagnant pools of water. So if you have a swimming pool and it is not aerated and the water is just sitting there dead, then bacteria can get a foothold more easily than in a natural stream where there's an influx of water and there's that natural motion. But another thing I just wanted to say is that energetically speaking, the egg shape is also very important because by the way of its natural shape, it seemed to interact with certain subtle energies which surround us. We call them etheric energies, and we'll probably get a chance to talk about that a little later on in more detail. But so much so that Schauberger recommended for, well, maybe we should just say he was such a prolific writer, and he touched on so many different areas and topics. Now, one of the topics was soil fertility. In one of his ideas, he dug out the ground in an egg shape, and he made an egg-shaped repository for earthworms. And he found that the soil was very beneficially affected by a certain composition within the earth and giving it that egg shape. So
it seems to attract this energy. The very shape of it attracts this energy. And that's why everything is termed, the very nature of life, the term egg is used, you know, fertilizing an egg, having a chicken's egg and that sort of thing. It's life. It's all actually denoting and talking about life, this very shape.
Wow. So you were saying now that within that egg shape, there is this other, did you call it the hyperbolic spiral, that which the vortex energizer is patterned after?
Well,
yeah.
Well, if you draw a circle around the vortex energizer, you will have a perfect egg shape.
Oh, I see. I see. So that is the vortex that is created within the egg.
Yes.
I see.
And that is exactly what we are seeing when we are imploding water in our machine, which is again an egg shape. We are creating a very powerful vortex within the egg. So it's the vortex within the egg. And that is what is giving this amazing result. And when we first experimented all those years ago in Dolly's garage, we were totally amazed that even after a short while of running this machine at very high rotational speeds, that the water was beginning to be charged up. It was drawing energy in from the environment. And this is something that Dolly needs to talk about.
So one, before you do, when you say you ran it through the machine, you mean you put it through a cycle that made it go into a vortex spin?
Going into this inward suctional motion. Now, before I move any further about implosion, for those who do not know what implosion is, a simple explanation is when you empty your bathtub and you look at when the water is emptying through the plug hole, you'll see the water going very slowly on the periphery of the plug. And as it gets to the center, it becomes faster and faster and creates this inward suctional motion. Now that is implosion in motion in simple terms. So what we are talking about, the implosion machine, which again is egg-shaped, we turn this machine in this very centripetal motion, creating a little bit of explosion at the same time, but mainly it is drawing on implosion. So it is turning the water very, very fast in the centripetal inward suctional motion. And this seems to act as a wonderful antenna to draw from this quantum sea of energy, the ether, scalar waves, whatever you'd like to call it. But what it is doing, it's attracting it. And you visibly, I could actually see the energy coming from up somewhere into the machine and changing the actual very nature of the water within the machine.
Oh. At this stage, we need to point out that Dolly has the wonderful ability to see these subtle energy fields around people, the aura, basically.
It's not actually always a wonderful thing to see suddenly so many people around you so affected by what we have done ourselves that sometimes you think, do I want to do this?
What is the advantage of imploded water? We talked about it reduces bacteria, but what are the other advantages?
Well, this water then takes on the whole spectrum of color in this implosion machine. That is all the spectrum of color, and when the process of implosion is over, there is a golden hue around the egg.
Hmm.
Now, before I go any further, maybe I should also point out that it's a ritual for us to do this process, because I think it is very important. I have a medical degree, but I also want to point out that it's not all about linear thinking. We have to actually open up a bit and realize that there's much more to our environment than we know, and that's what scientists and doctors talk about. Now, when the machine is charged up fully, we have this golden hue, we know that the process of imploding the water has been completed. Now, all that water in turn is filled in each and every device that we make. And by wearing that device, that water in the device is interacting with our body fluids. Considering we are more than 70% water, our brains are 95% water, the medium is water. It is fundamental. There is no substitute for it. So it is interacting with our body fluid at the cellular level.
So what you're saying is that the water that has been charged or vitalized through this process of the implosion then gets put inside the different tools, you know, the hot measures, or the, you know, the different things that you're selling.
Absolutely.
But then, even though the water isn't physically touching your body, it can still be affecting it?
Yes, through vibration and resonance. And what we also discovered, that when we had one of our tools filled with this imploded water, just by placing it beside any other sample of water, they were interacting.
Wow.
And so you could take a glass of water from the river, you could take a glass of water from the reservoir, you can take a glass of water from anywhere, and you put it beside one of the devices, the water in the jug or the glass is immediately energized. And what is very exciting is that energization happens within seconds.
Wow.
And as yet, we haven't found anything that defaces that imprint. So to put it in a nutshell, implosion acts as this antenna to charge up the water, making the water in the implosion machine a very good tool to put in each and every one of the devices we make. You can drink the imploded water, but you don't really need to. This is a gentler way of actually introducing energization by using the simple tools. All we've done here is copied nature. And so by putting the water in every single spiral that we have, they all do the same thing. They improve the quality of water. They are putting structure into water. They are making water biocompatible. So the whole system works better. Absorption becomes better. Getting rid of waste products and toxins much more efficiently because the medium is right.
Wow. Well, I want to say that we're at our halfway point, and I thought that if this is a good time to open it up to questions, maybe we could see if anybody has any. Great. I appreciate how you're able to use analogies that, you know, make it simple for people to, you know, get a picture, because I know for myself, talking about the mathematics and everything, it's hard for me to follow. But when you say, okay, like when you watch it go down the drain,
oh, okay, I can do that.
So if anybody has a question, you can unmute yourself now by hitting *6, and let's just have one person at a time.
Evening. My name is Gregory. I have a question about the vortex, the spiral. Now, I purchased this, and I'm curious if I have to, I just have it sitting near water, some jugs of water. Should I have it where the point of the spiral is down, or does it matter if it's down or up? Or,
well,
what
my,
I'm saying?
Yes, I understand. I have this question asked to me every day. And my personal preference is, if you are putting it on the main rising pipe that brings the water into your house, then my advice is, or my preference is, to have the apex going with the flow of water. But everyone doesn't have this facility, because a lot of people have the pipes coming in under their sink, and a lot of them don't have room to place the vortex energizer in the way that I prefer. So as long as the vortex energizer just touches the pipe, you will have what is necessary. It will be energizing the water. It will be putting vitality into water.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
If it's a jug, though, if it's not a pipe, but if it's sitting in a jug or sitting in a...
It doesn't need to touch the water. It just needs to be beside the water to do it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Somebody else had a question that we didn't get a chance to hear?
Yes. I'm new to all of this, and though I've heard things about it before, I'm fascinated and would like to learn about the products, and where can I go for more basic information?
Well, if you ask Kristan, she'll give you her website. She explains it, I'm sure.
And also on Center for Implosion Research, the website there is also that information. Somebody else have a pressing question?
I'm Eileen from Guelph, Ontario, Canada. And I have a question.
Hello, Eileen.
Hello, Dolly, and Jonathan.
Hello.
I had a question. It's gardening season here. And may I ask a question about your copper tools?
Yes.
Yes. Are you going to be talking a little bit about that?
Well, we don't make copper tools. But what we do know that Victor Schauberg said, that copper was very important for the earth. It is a very earthy metal. It's also a metal, if we are talking about energy here, it's a metal that connects the earth with the cosmos. And one of the things that copper does, it's natural aeration when you're digging the earth.
Right.
So there are people who make gardening tools from copper. So you can buy the various rakes and spades and what have you.
What about your spirals in the garden?
Well, you use the water to water your plants with it. All the water that you use to water your plants, energize it before you water it. And you'll find that certain plants that are dying, they apparently are revived very, very well. But we'll talk about these products later.
Okay, thank you.
When you mentioned about the water and the plants, don't you have some research on that about the plant growth? You've had people sending you in some data about how their plants have improved in that way?
Yes, we have.
Over the years, we've had
great results with that, where the growth is much, much stronger, the yield is much greater, and what's more, the plant doesn't need as much water because it's good quality water.
In fact, I don't know whether Eric from Canada is online. He had some plant trials conducted by a nursery local to himself on wheatgrass, I believe, and they were very successful. If Eric is there, maybe he might like to say a few words.
He has a website people can go to, earthheal.com,
yes,
if they're interested. He's got some photos on there. One place I had read, there was something like a 300% increase in output in the crops.
Yes, it was 250% increase in yield from what we got.
Well, that's pretty amazing just by using the charged water.
It is.
I think that has
agricultural
problems.
Well, absolutely, and I can tell you that our flowers in my, I'm a great lover of flowers. I'm a Cancerian and I love flowers and I like beautiful things and very female. And my flowers last twice as long as anyone else's flowers in their vases.
So I would think that the same is holding true for our body. If we're drinking this water,
exactly, we're
going to be getting more life. And I think you had mentioned there was like it increases the cleansing. Refresh my memory.
Yes, and this is why I feel if the water is the right quality, it is actually structured water. If there's anything inappropriate being ingested or taken into the body, immediately the water in the body is so discerning it says, well, we don't really need that. Let's get rid of it.
Huh.
And flushes it out. So I think
this will increase the cleansing factor for people as they are drinking.
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
I have one more question in there. Let's get that last question. Go ahead. Go ahead. Do you have another question?
Yes. First of all, I didn't quite hear Jonathan when he was describing the implosion machine that they used to create the water that goes inside of the Vortex Energizer and other products. He said, like, what it's made of?
Made of copper.
Made of copper. Okay. And then how do you get a vortex forming inside of it, mm-hmm. such that you see it? I mean, it's usually very slow, right?
Yeah. If you imagine a tornado, that kind of high-energy event, and you picture a tornado taking place on a much smaller scale but in an egg shape, then you've got a picture of what we are doing with our implosion machine, and we are turning the water up to a velocity of 30,000 revolutions per minute. So it's very fast, and at that fast velocity, we are seeing that we are really interacting with the fabric of the ether, with that quantum sphere of energy around us, and that's when we are getting this effect of drawing. We are creating a vacuum on the quantum sphere of energy and drawing that into the water by means of this implosion process. So it is almost like the vortex is like a gateway that is opening up to this subtle energetic world of the ether. And that is what is having this profound effect. Now, one property of water, which is so vital to our work and to the way implosion and our products work, is the fact that water has the ability to receive, store, and transmit information. Water is a little bit like a liquid tape recorder. So water has got all these wonderful properties that conventional science knows, like the anomaly point and all these weird and wonderful things which actually enable life on this planet to exist. But one property that is not really well-researched and well-known by conventional science is this memory of water phenomenon. And that is facilitated by lots of water molecules gathering together and forming cluster structures. So it's not so much, well, this is our understanding at least, is that this ability of water to receive information and store information is happening on a macromolecular level, so a level of many hundreds of molecules grouping together. And this is something that was observed under dark field microscopy, that water which has gone through the municipal drinking water processes and it's been piped under pressure into your homes, once it comes out of the tap or the faucet, it is literally devoid. It has been discharged of its structure and its energetic content. Dolly,
well, even if somebody's
in
putting it through a purifier, it still hasn't gotten that life energy back.
Yes. Now, one of the things Victor Schauberger said was, if you look at a natural flowing river, you see it's meandering through the countryside. It's got its own eddies and whirls. You're talking about vortices that actually charge it up, that give it that vitality, that give it that energy, that give it structure. And what we as humans have done, we put the water in straight jackets and putting it in straight pipes. So we are more or less killing it. I always say this to people. I say, in the East, we revere and respect water. In the West, we abuse it. And this is what Victor Schauberger was talking about. And it is so vital, because we have done the, can't do much about the straight pipes, but what we can do, energetically change it. And since we are all energy, it's going to have an impact. And that is where we are coming from. And that's where this work that we are doing for us, especially for me, is a mission and a passion. It's not a job.
You know, it's definitely something that is needed, and not just in terms of people's health, but when I look at the agricultural applications, with water being essentially the oil of this next decade, far more precious and far more limited in its quantity, drinking water and potable water, if you're able to essentially cut out use of that by two-thirds and have the same crop output, I mean, that's huge.
Yes.
That's really huge.
And what's more, you don't need as much water either, because it's quality water. It's doing what it's supposed to do. It's conducive.
Well, we are at our five-minute mark. I just want to remind you, we have a little more than 5 minutes left in the conference. And so if you want, you can open this up to a final round of questions, or if you have something more you want to continue to go on, it's up to you.
Open up to questions, yeah?
Okay. It sounded like there were a few more questions than people had time to get in.
Yes, there's a few questions.
Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Can I just ask two questions? There's a whole lot of people with a lot of questions, I'm sure.
Okay.
You may not have any report on this, but I was in touch with Ms. Farabend, who had the actual repulsing device under her husband's workbench. She eventually gave it to the PKS Institute, which this was several years ago. Do you know anything about progress that's been made on the trout turbine, or otherwise called the repulsing? Do you know anything about any progress made on that device?
Well, at the beginning of the conference, I mentioned the German Society for Implosion Research. Now, they have done quite a lot of work on the repulsing and recreating that. I'm also familiar with the repulsing that was in America and that was then returned to the Schauberger family. That's right. Now, they have done a documentary film. It's available on DVD, and it tells the whole story, and it mentions the repulse scene, and it actually shows pictures and shows of it being turned. So that might be something of interest to you. It's a very well-documented, well-produced film, and it will give you some further information on the repulse scene. I'm actually not familiar with the up-to-date state with regard to that repulse scene and whether the Schauberger family is currently working on it.
Okay. Let me ask you, and this is a question referred to in Callum Coates' book, and you may understand this better than me, but it seemed key and important understanding quality of water as pertaining to a specific heat, and they were describing it as when in the blood, it helps maintain a body's state of indifference, and that is that a water's specific heat is high, meaning it takes a lot of energy to change its temperature. It wants to maintain the same temperature. And Mr. Coates was describing that this helps the blood or the human body retain its natural 98.6 degree or whatever your standard temperature may be. It helps to retain that and therefore resist illness. However, at 98.6 degrees, that's a temperature at which the specific heat of water is at its lowest. This is all what Mr. Coates was saying. So that means that it's more likely to be able to fluctuate in temperature. Can you explain that to me a little? Because it seems like the temperature of 98.6 is when water is not a temperature water wants to maintain. It wants to either drop or rise. And I couldn't understand how that helped the body maintain its indifference, state of indifference. And unless I understood that, I seem to be missing something very basic. So I'm asking you.
Okay. Well, I'm not entirely sure myself. I hear what you are saying.
Yeah.
And maybe we need to direct that question to Callum Coates. I don't know whether he is listening in at the moment. We have been having regular contact with him.
Could I perhaps write to you? Because I have not been able to find a way to contact Mr. Coates.
Okay, you write to us, and we'll contact him.
We will forward your email to him.
Could I ask a question about human vortexes? Dolly, if you see energy, does some of the virals that you have, do they affect human vortexes?
Yes.
In the energy field.
If you know anything about the Indians, we have people called dervishes. They go around in this very, very fast spiraling motion. But then we have all the chakras in our bodies, you know, the energy centers. They're all moving in this vortical movement.
And so do what you have, do they balance our vortexes?
Yes, without a doubt.
They do, because I was just thinking about the whole 2012 phenomenon and the planetary alignment, and I'm just wondering if it's becoming more critical to start balancing our own vortexes so that we can align more easily to what's going on the planet right now and in the universe.
Well, I have a two-part kind of addendum to that when you answer that, if you could include this, that you've mentioned that there are even some oncologists that are working with the Vortex Water Energizer that traditionally is hooked up to a pipe on your agricultural or home water. They say that they're using them on patients' bodies and they're getting results with that. I think that sort of ties in with her question, if you could respond to that.
Yes. Dr. Wecker did some tests. But also, personally, we have a friend who had a malignant tumor 3 years ago. And as a gift, we gave her one of our gold-plated vortex energizers, and she placed it. It was a tumor in the womb, and it was the size of a tennis ball. And this was in October, and she used it every day in the area just above the uterus area for a few minutes at a time, several times a day. And by the time she came to have it removed in February, that's October, November, December, January, February, 4 months, it had shrunk to the size of a ping pong ball.
Wow.
They are simple tools, but they're copying nature. So they are actually in tune with what is needed. They are conducive.
And just to connect with the question on the effect of the harmonizers on the body's own energy field and the vortexes, and we had a few years ago, we had a study conducted by the Biofield Research Laboratory in Vienna in Austria, and they use a method called Kirlian photography. It's one of the things they use to investigate subtle energy fields. And what they found was that these Kirlian photographs, which give an indication of the human body's energy field and vitality, they were showing a much more radiant, much more complete in their corona, in their energetic discharge, after drinking the energized water and also after wearing the personal harmonizers. So these and various research reports we have had over the years, as well as the many, many customer testimonials, all point to the fact that the human energy field is beneficially affected by the personal harmonizer. So the personal harmonizer is actually strengthening and supporting the natural human energy field and is making it cope much better with such detrimental outside influences such as electromagnetic pollution, geopolitical stress, and as well as chemical and other pollution. So we haven't as yet spoken about electromagnetic pollution, radiation from mobile phones, etc. But that is a very real problem that we are faced with nowadays, because
if I understand you correctly, it's many of these electromagnetic devices, they claim they're neutralizing the electromagnetic stress, whereas this, it's actually just improving your cell's defenses against it. Is that right?
Well, that's it. It's actually boosting your own electromagnetic field to cope with it. Nobody
so it'll work
that.
Wherever you go, as opposed to those that are sort of site-specific, like this will neutralize that tower and this will neutralize your computer. This instead you wear on you and you just take it with you wherever you go.
Absolutely. And that is the way. But there's one other very important part it plays, is that when you wear it, you know that it protects against electromagnetic pollution by boosting your own electromagnetic field. It is actually boosting your immune system. But it's also protecting you, which is very, very exciting for me, against other people's inappropriate stuff. How often have you walked into a room and thought, gosh, that person's giving off something. I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
And because we are mainly made up of water, and as Jonathan has talked to you earlier about water having this wonderful facility to store information, it will store information that's appropriate, but there's a downside. It can actually store information that's inappropriate.
Huh, yeah.
And by using implosion, we seem to have stopped absorbing it. We took the vortex energizer through the X-ray machine at Plymouth Airport. Energetically, it didn't touch it. So that was the real exciting creme de la creme of what we are doing.
You know, Masaru Emoto's work in researching this imprinting ability in water, in his second volume of his book, he showed that when the water was imprinted with a higher frequency, that it actually withstood the imprints of the electromagnetic stresses.
Absolutely, absolutely. And actually, by the way, in that book, he's written a whole section about that.
I don't have his most recent one, no.
Yes, he's written a whole section about us there.
Oh, how fantastic.
Yes.
Well, he should.
I think it's called the healing power of water.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we have time for one last question. There's somebody, I know there was somebody who kept trying to get in and wasn't getting in. If you have
one, and of course, you'll have Jonathan and Dolly's email and their website and more to follow up. But if there's a burning question you've got before we end, this is your chance.
I've got a question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Question is there an advantage to storing water in an egg-shaped container like the amphora that you sell where the vortex energizer is next to it so that where the vortex energizer essentially is affecting it for a much longer period of time than if that same vortex energizer was on the water pipe?
No, I think it's very nice to, I mean, our ancients always have these containers, the amphorae, to store because it's actually conducive. But the vortex energizer does all the water in the household. So why not have it on the main pipe where you're not only drinking energized water, you're cooking with energized water, you're breathing energized air, you are actually bathing in energized water. So it's the functions are many more than just energizing one egg full of water.
I'm thinking about is having two vortex energizers, you know, one on the water.
Oh, one on your face. Well, I don't really think it's necessary. As you can see, I'm not very good at making money, and I don't want to tell you something that I don't think is right. So my advice, you don't really need it. If you've already got a vortex on your mains rising pipe, you're already having energized water. So that energized water is already going into your egg, which is energized. And in the egg, especially in our egg, we've got a little personal harmonizer in the lid for those who do not buy the vortex energizer, so it continues to energize the water.
Well, I want to thank you, too. You'd asked me to be timekeeper, and I want to let you know how much I've appreciated all that you've shared with us. And we could go on and on, I'm sure, and I hope, you know, maybe this will be one of many. But thank you so much for just being so generous with your time and with your knowledge. So thank you so much, you guys, for coming. I really appreciate this.
Thank you very much for inviting us. And without you, we wouldn't be able to do what we are doing. So together, we will all get together and make a difference.
Yes, thank you very much, Kristen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
People are on there.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Well, we'll look forward to doing another one soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, signing off. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.